Now, there's a clash of the titans happening in Cape Town tonight. Charity tennis match. Rafael Nadal, Roger Federer teaming up respectively with Trevor Noah and Bill Gates. And it's all for charity. It's a great initiative at the Cape Town Stadium. The Gates Foundation has got a brand new chief executive, and he is a South African. Mark Suzman, the nephew of the great anti-apartheid politician and MP, the great liberal politician, Helen Suzman, who spent much of her time as the only liberal opponent of the Nats in Parliament. And so we spoke to Mark Suzman about Bill Gates. And I said to him, I've seen Bill Gates's TV show, Inside Bill's Brain. And inside that show, he has a mean forehand. Is he any good at tennis, I asked?
Yeah, well, Bill is a pretty good forehand and backhand, and he's certainly a very competitive guy. And he has actually played with Roger Federer before, and they like to boast that they are unbeaten. And Bill is Roger's only doubles partner who has never been beaten with him. So I think Rafa and Trevor are going to have a tough challenge ahead of them tonight.
I mean, we make light of it, of course, but it's all being done in an enormous cause. I mean, for the Roger Federer Foundation, and it does a lot of good, as the Gates Foundation does. Explain to me the importance of this confrontation, in inverted commas, this evening, and the importance it does for the sorts of work that you guys do.
Yeah, well, I think it's important in sort of two big ways. I mean, the first is actually when you have global stars of this magnitude coming and shining a spotlight on needs in Southern Africa, because the Roger Federer Foundation works across Southern Africa, mostly in primary and pre-primary education. That's enormously important. It's going to bring a lot of global attention, and it's global attention that's much needed, because the foundation actually does excellent work. And Roger himself was just in Namibia before coming down to South Africa and seeing some of the work his foundation does there. And the link to the Gates Foundation is similarly, you know, our focus is really on the world's poorest and neediest. We believe that every person, wherever they live, deserves the chance to a healthy and productive life. And again, Sub-Saharan Africa, along with South Asia, are the two parts of the world which have the greatest needs and the greatest opportunities. And so being able to focus on that, to both raise funds, which will go directly to helping people, but as it's not more important, really shining attention on the issues and doing it in a positive way, saying change is possible and happening, and this is going to help enable that.
Not everybody is comfortable with the interventions of the Gates Foundation. There is some criticism, I think it's fairly marginal, but there's some criticism that the Gates Foundation, being as powerful as it is, with all the money that it has at its disposal, is able to do what countries should be doing. It almost becomes a quasi-autonomous state wherever it goes and intervenes in critical life-saving issues, but there is some criticism of that process. Well, how do you respond to that?
Two responses. So the first is, you know, we deliberately and carefully focus on issues that disproportionately affect the world's poorest people and where there are what we like to call market failures. We wish there was a clamor in the world of pharmaceutical companies and governments lining up to fund a new malaria vaccine or new malaria treatments. There should be. It's frankly a shame that they aren't doing that, given the massive burden that diseases like malaria, or here in South Africa, tuberculosis and HIV, put on those poor people. But in their absence, a foundation like ours can step in and, we believe, be catalytic. We never can or should substitute for either government or the private sector. Government has to be the fundamental long-term supplier of things like public health and education. The private sector is always going to be the most efficient producer of, say, goods like new vaccines or pharmaceuticals. But what we can do is help catalyze funding, attention, in these gaps, which are sadly neglected, even if they shouldn't be.
As a foundation, you made some money available recently for when coronavirus arrives in Africa. We don't know when it's going to arrive and how it's going to arrive and what the impact is going to be. You made money available, a fairly limited amount of money in the global scheme of things right now. But how do you select the event or the cause or the project that you are going to do? Because the world is so desperate and there is so much poverty and there is so much need. And ultimately, there's only a finite amount of money to throw at the problems.
Yeah, well, first, on the coronavirus specifically, we've committed up to $100 million and a good chunk of those resources are being devoted exclusively and explicitly to Africa, working with the African Centers for Disease Control, working with the World Health Organization's Africa teams to help prepare Africa and African countries for the very likely onset of the coronavirus. We hope that to date there are no confirmed cases, but no confirmed cases does not mean there are no cases. Yep. That just means they have not been identified and proven, and we've seen how transmissible the disease is. So for something like that, you know, it's a rare occasion, but we did it with the Ebola virus 5 years ago. When there are global health emergencies, one of our advantages is that we can often move much more flexibly than governments or others, and we can disburse money quickly, and we can do it into areas like the African Centers for Disease Control, which, you know, are historically underfunded. And so that's why we moved as quickly as we did. In terms of our wider funding and selecting what we do and why we do it, again, it's always through that lens of two main priorities. One, is it going to help the poorest and neediest, whether it's in the United States where we work on education issues, whether it's around the world we work on issues like global health or financial inclusion? We need to be able to see a direct path to impact. And the second is the point I already raised earlier. Is our money critical to actually get this done? Because if it's something that we believe government could or should be doing, or the private sector could or should be doing, we should not be stepping in to play that substitution role. We should really always only be the catalytic bridge to that longer-term funding.
Mark Sussman, thank you very much indeed. Mark Sussman is the chief executive of the Gates Foundation, a nephew of the late Helen Sussman.